Hello and welcome back to In Christ Radio. Today we continue in our debut episode of our new series, Hope Restored, as we go verse by verse through the book of Nehemiah. Again, I have Pastor Ben in studio.
Thank you for having me back.
Now, last time, you kind of gave us a rundown of what to expect in Nehemiah, with a little bit of background how Ezra built the foundation, and Nehemiah is tasked with building the walls. Can you give us a quick reminder of what we learned and why the foundations and walls were so important?
In the series that we just finished, Ezra went back to rebuild the temple foundation. The foundation was important because of the temple was communion with God. The problem, the city was not secure. So in order for the worship of the Lord, the people needed to feel safe. And Nehemiah comes back, rebuilding the walls gives them the safety that they needed. So there wasn't a constant threat. They could worship in peace. And I think when God begins to rebuild the walls of our heart, it gives us opportunities to worship with the peace of God that we've been missing.
Can you describe why Nehemiah's role was so important and why his story is in the Bible, or why we should read his story today?
His dedication to rebuilding Jerusalem and revitalizing the Jewish faith has left a lasting impact on Jewish history and actually serves as an inspiration for leadership in the face of adversity.
Thank you, Pastor Ben. It sounds like leadership plays a key part throughout this series. I look forward to learning even more about it. But for now, let's turn into today's episode, Does Anybody Really Care? From our Hope Restored series.
In Christ, I can do all things. In Christ, I mount up on eagle's wings. In Christ, I wait for a great reward that I have in store for. In Christ.
And so, here's the point of the story. Jesus said, remember the question, well, who's my neighbor? Jesus said, so which of these three do you think was a neighbor to him who fell among thieves? And the lawyer said, he who showed mercy on him. Okay? A couple of great characteristics, guys, that I think we need to have as Christians is compassion and mercy. Compassion and mercy towards people. And all the more, the longer you walk with Jesus, all the more. Not all the less. Oh, I've been walking with Jesus for 45 days. They should do what I say. And if they would do what I say. And it's like, no, 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 no. Jesus said, show them mercy. Show them compassion. And I like what Jesus says. And here's what I want you to underline in your Bible. And Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. Go and do likewise. There's the do word again. He said, do. What must I do? Go and do likewise. What is Jesus saying, guys? You can write next to this if you have a pencil. He says, go and do the same thing. Go and do the same thing. What? Well, what must I do? Who's my neighbor? This is what you need to do. You need to show compassion and mercy in a real and tangible way. Go and do likewise. Now, the reason I tell you this story in the Gospel of Luke is I believe, guys, it reiterates the character of Nehemiah in whom we're about to study. You go, what do you mean? Nehemiah was the kind of person who cared. This Samaritan in Jesus' narrative says he cared. He cared. And Nehemiah was that way. He cared about the traditions of the past as well as the needs of the present. Nehemiah cared, listen, about the hopes for the future. Nehemiah cared about his heritage. He actually cared about Jerusalem. And here's what I love, and you can take this down. Nehemiah cared about the glory of his God. The glory of his God. Now, if you're taking note, guys, I'm calling this message tonight, Does Anybody Really Care? Does anybody really care? Why? Because we're living in a day and age where we feel like nobody really cares. Nobody really cares. Much like the priest in our story or the Levite, they pass by the needs of those who are stressed, those who are hurting. They crossed over the path of those who've been wounded by someone or something, but not Nehemiah. Nehemiah cares about people. His heart belongs to those who are hurting and those who are broken And those who feel, and maybe you felt this at times, you're in a tailspin, headed out to sea, and you can't seem to recover. Nehemiah cares. He cares. Remember, God called us, Calvary, here to love and serve people. We need to be a group of people that care about people, that want to see people walking in victory with God. We want to see those. And here's what the Word of God says. Nehemiah cares. Now, as we begin this verse-by-verse study in this awesome book, let me give you some background so you get a good feel for it. Ezra, we talked about Ezra. We spent the last few months in Ezra. Nehemiah and Esther, they actually conclude the historical books here in the Bible. Now, both Ezra and Nehemiah are devoted to the events that are happening at Israel at the time. Let me remind you again, it's going to be really, really just a refresher because you've been walking with us through the book of Ezra. But remember, the Jewish people, the Jews faced complete destruction of their own possessions, traditions, and the temple and their country. Remember, according to 1 and 2 Kings and 1 and 2 Chronicles, they had sinned and God had judged them. We talked about all of that before. We talked about that last week. We talked about 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. But I love that God, however, promised to restore them, to remake Israel. This is the way that the Lord rebuilt Jerusalem. Do you remember? It was the Emperor Cyrus in his first year ruling as the Persian Empire. He issued a decree allowing the Jews to return back to the land. 70 years later, as prophesied, they made three returns. Now, I'm going to give you some dates here, just historically, but what I find very interesting, the 10 northern tribes, the Assyrians, had come and taken them way before Nebuchadnezzar came into Jerusalem. You guys with me? And in Jerusalem, there were three major deportations over 13 years. Nebuchadnezzar didn't come and just go, everybody get in the van, and they all went, you know, they didn't. It was three major. But I love this because there were three major returns back to Israel, three of them. You go, they were? Yeah. If you remember, in the book of Ezra, Zerubbabel led the first wave of Jewish exiles to return, and we saw that in Ezra chapters 1 through 6. This happened at 536 BC. So in 536 before Christ, here comes Zerubbabel. Let's go. Yeah, we're going home. Woo-hoo. And they were excited. You guys know the story, though. Opposition came, and they weren't able to get the temple going. The second return was found in 455 BC. We see that when Ezra, Pastor Ezra, led the second, and we see that in chapter 7 through 10. We talked about these the last few weeks. The third one is right here in the book of Nehemiah. Around 445 BC, Nehemiah is going to lead another group back to Jerusalem. Okay? So keep this in mind. In December of 446 BC, Nehemiah hears the report. His heart breaks. In April of 445 BC, after a prayer period of 4 months, Ezra gets the courage to speak to the king. Early September, after just 52 days, the walls were completed. The walls were completed, 52 days. Now, one of the things I want to remind you, and I think it's important, and I have a hard time with it, maybe you do as well. Prayer takes time. He heard the report, and we live in such an instantaneous world that we want God to do something today. Nehemiah prayed for 4 months before he was able enough courage to approach the king. 4 months. Sometimes, church, when we pray, God answers that prayer immediately. Can I get an amen? You've had that happen. You've prayed, and God's like, yes! And he answers you. And then there's other times that you've prayed, and 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 you feel like, man, I don't feel like God's, I'm not getting through. And sometimes it just takes a little bit longer, just a little bit longer. Now, 52 days, the wall was completed. But we have to do some work. We have to chat here for just a moment. As we make our way through the book of Nehemiah, there's no difference in it in the sense that throughout this book, there were obvious obstacles. There's obstacles, okay? Nehemiah, I don't know if you know this, we're going to read this, but he secretly inspected the wall to what? To avoid planned opposition. They were already upset. The temple goes up. The people are connecting back with God because that's what the temple was. God was building the foundation in their hearts. He's bringing them back home. And so now all of a sudden, but see, they still feel vulnerable. They still feel insecure because the walls that surrounded them, their protection was gone. They were destroyed. Well, Nehemiah rides in and he secretly, before anybody ever knew, we see that there were certain noblemen unwilling, if you will, to help with the rebuilding of the wall. You see, they had their allegiances elsewhere, and certain resources to rebuild the wall, therefore, were hard to secure. You go, what does that look like? It seems like a lot of opposition, and a lot of Nehemiah had to walk by faith. He's about to do a great work, and there's going to be opposition, and there's going to be people that are not willing to do that. Their allegiances are somewhere else. Church, listen to me. We need to be the type of believers that have our allegiance towards Jesus in lifting up the arms of our brothers and sisters. You see, Nehemiah cares. Nehemiah brought vision, and he brought prayer, and he brought God's involvement. He got the emperor's resources and great bold leadership to accomplish the work. Now, I want you to put on your thinking caps for just a second. Think about this. The temple was finished at 516 BC. It would seem obvious that the rebuilding of the walls would be next, right? This is what we do. Oh, we got the temple. Let's go. Let's go. But it wasn't. It wasn't until 70 years later, after the temple was rebuilt, that the walls were finally completed. 70 years. You go, what does that mean? The book of Nehemiah, as we embark in it, is going to help us to see what obstacles the Jews faced in rebuilding the temple. But it also, what resources God has to rebuild things like our lives and helping us to restore broken or even strained relationships. So we're going to see all of this. Now, here's the purpose. Here's the purpose. You ready? As I was praying about the book of Nehemiah and said, what is the purpose, Lord? Here's my heart. My prayer is that God would first and foremost build a foundation in our lives. First and foremost. My heart is that we would be able to build our lives on what He wants. His word. Right here. My prayer is that He would work miracles and restore relationships in our lives. There might be relationships in your lives that are strained that God wants to restore. Only He can do it. My prayer is that He would bring the prodigals back. You see, for some reason, it seems like there's once they hit at a certain age, they don't want anything to do with God and they walk away from God. We pray that God would bring the prodigals back. I pray that God would heal and mend friendships that have been broken. I pray that God would restore marriages that have been battered by the enemy. Now, look at me. If you're married here today, your marriage is under attack. If you are a fully devoted follower of God, your marriage is under attack. You just need to know that. You need to know that the enemy is working hard to try to get that, to try to distance you guys from each other. Men, step up and be men. Pray with your wives. Love on your wives. Do those things that you don't feel like doing. Love and serve your wives. This is why. Don't give the enemy a chance to get in. But my prayer is that maybe there is marriages that need to be restored. As we go through the book of Nehemiah, again, this is our introduction. Let me give you two central points in the series. You ready? Number one, I'm going to call it building lives. Building lives. You go, what does that mean? Well, make sure we have a real and true relationship with God. You go, okay, I get that. Now, here's why it jumped off the pages of Scripture. I was reading a book earlier this week that talked about cheap imitations. And we've all seen the imitation knockoffs, right? The fake Nike shoes or the imitation Air Jordans or maybe the fake Gucci handbags. Or back in my day, I don't know, was the imitation Rolex watches, you know, it looked like a Rolex, but it really wasn't. And it was an imitation, okay? Here's the point. You can tell the fakes over time. Maybe not so much at first, but in time, the imitation breaks down, falls apart, and gets thrown away. And so with our walks with God. At first glance, it all seems fine over time. But then eventually, if it's an imitation walk, it'll break down, it'll fall apart, and it'll get thrown away. Now, here's the point. My prayer for us church is that when it comes to Jesus, that we would all have the real thing. The real thing. You go, Ben, time out, bro. It's Wednesday night. People are here on Wednesday night. This is the church. And I go, amen. And I agree. Wednesday night, the church is here. We're here. We're excited. But 2 Corinthians, Paul reminds us in chapter 13, verse 5, he says this. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you are disqualified. End quote. I just like the fact from time to time that we do a spiritual inventory. Just check. How is it with me? How's my walk? Am I out in the desert somewhere thinking things are good with God? Or am I really, you know, what's going on? I think some of you who have walked with Jesus for a little while can agree that after a while, you kind of might put it on cruise control a little bit. You might be like, no, I got this. My life is good. God is good. And I'm not being challenged. But nonetheless, I'm not being attacked. And I know his word. And I pray. And I get up every morning. And I pray with my wife and all this. But God has so much more for us. He has so much more. And so I think it's important. Hey, Lord, show me my heart. Ask the Lord to show you your blind spots, those areas that you don't see coming. The other day, I was walking by and I saw that Adam was walking from his office from over by the gathering. And I thought I would sneak up on him and kind of scare him as he walked in the door. You know, so I got real close up to the wall. And so I saw him open the door. He didn't see me. I didn't scare him, okay? Don't look at me like you did that. But as soon as he looked at me, and that's the thing, those are those blind spots. Oh, I want the real thing with Jesus. I want the real thing and a real relationship with him. I want to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that just my walk with Jesus. I told you guys this last week, but it just left such an impression. I told you this on Sunday, but think about this. I mean, you know, how beautiful is Jesus? How beautiful is he? How amazing is he for us? He's that little boy coming under anesthesia, whether he saw him or not. He's like, he's so beautiful. Jesus, he's so beautiful. And I just believe that. Church, it costs us more, our lives, to be real. But in the end, it's well worth it. The second point I want to bring out in the book of Nehemiah, guys, before we jump in is not only building our lives, but also restoring relationships. Restoring relationships. You go, why? Because I titled this message, Does Anybody Really Care? And we all walk this earth with broken hearts, relationships that have been broken. Many of our relationships have become indifferent. My prayer tonight is that the gates and the walls in our series will serve as application points and the miracles for God to restore that which is broken and that which is stolen. Relationship. Now, if you're taking notes, let me give you a preview of what problems Nehemiah faced in rebuilding Jerusalem, rebuilding the walls. And let me parallel that to what problems you and I might face in building lives and restoring relationships. You ready? Let me give you eight of them. I jot these down. Number one, these are eight problems that Nehemiah faced. First and foremost, going into the book of Nehemiah, he's going to face ridicule. Okay? From chapter 2 and chapter 4, we're going to see that there was laughter, scorn, and mocking. What are you doing? In one of the areas, they're going to mock him and say, listen, if a squirrel walked on that wall, it would fall down. That's how poor you're going to build it. And they would mock him. They would mock him. That's a problem he faced. He also faced wrath. You go, wrath? Yeah. From chapter 4 all the way to chapter 6 and 9, we see anger and rage. There were people who were outraged at what he was trying to do, what he was trying to accomplish. How about this? The third problem that Nehemiah faced is discouragement. We're going to see that in chapter 4, verse 10, discouragement. I can't tell you, last week I was talking to a friend of mine, and I was telling him that the enemy wanted to rob him of his joy. Don't let the enemy rob him of his joy. Don't let the enemy rob you of your joy. And you know what? It seemed like all of this past week, the enemy's been trying to rob me of my joy. And it's like, oh, yeah, you want to preach that, Pastor? Let's see. Let's see how you do. And there are times when you feel discouraged. Discouraged. They're going to do with Nehemiah. No, number four, the fourth problem that Nehemiah is going to face, we're going to see in chapter 4, 11 through 23, is fear. It's fear. Whenever you do a great work for God, there's fear. There's a lot of fear. You have those inner voices and those outer voices. Oh, you can't do that. Oh, you can't. Nobody will ever listen to you and all of these things. And if that wasn't enough, let me give you problem number five that Nehemiah faced, and it's internal strife. The people in the church started to bicker, started to cause division, and started, he had some internal strife going on in the rebuilding of the wall. You can't have that when you're doing a great work. And if that wasn't enough, trying to deal with the internal strife, the sixth one was there was laziness. Laziness. Chapter 4, verse 10, there was laziness. People just didn't want to do it. They didn't want to work. They didn't want to be part of that. Hey, man, well, listen, and here's probably their mindset. We've lived like this for a while. We have the temple. Hopefully nobody attacks us. And Nehemiah has to deal with laziness. Let me give you the seventh problem that Nehemiah faced. It was satanic subtlety. You go, really? Yeah. It was Tobias and Sanballat and Geshem. They asked Nehemiah to come out and come to a meeting in the Valley of Ono. Okay? And what they wanted Nehemiah to do is compromise in the Valley of Ono. And you know what Nehemiah said? Oh, no, I'm not going. And the last, guys, the last was he actually had some lying prophets in chapter 6, verse 10 through 14. Lying prophets. Thus says the Lord, this is what God says. These are the problems that keep us from building our lives, guys. Same problems. Same problems that we might have building our lives around God and actually relationships from being restored. It's the same issues. It's the ridicule, the wrath, the discouragement, the fear, the internal strife, the laziness, the satanic subtlety, and the lying prophets. That's why it's important to write those down and get them on paper somewhere. As we study the book of Nehemiah, we're going to glean several different facts that will minister to us. You go, what are they? Here's fact number one. It's an excellent study in revival. In revival. You go, what do you mean? How God took broken down people and brings them together again. It's revival, and I'm praying that we see revival. It's also, number two, an excellent study in leadership. Leadership. You go, what do you mean? God has called many of us to lead in these final days, and when it comes to leadership, there's no finer study than in the life of Nehemiah. So we have great leadership. In Christ.
That's all the time we have. Thank you for joining us today here at In Christ. Pastor Ben, it's always a pleasure. I really liked hearing about the character of Nehemiah. Before we go, could you maybe give us a little bit more?
Well, remember, Nehemiah's leadership style is characterized by prayer, and that's so important. Nehemiah walks in humility and, of course, a genuine and authentic commitment to God. Nehemiah faced significant challenges. He had those that on the outside that opposed him, and he actually had those on the inside that opposed him. But his resilience and his strategic planning allowed him to overcome all these obstacles.
Can you give us one last takeaway?
One of the takeaways from the whole book of Nehemiah was his leadership skills. But he was a man of compassion. He was a man who really cared. And we know that there are people that really care, and we want to be people that really care. You see, we're called to love and serve people just like Nehemiah, and it's a great takeaway as we go through this book.
Amen. Thank you again so much, Pastor Ben, for joining us today. And don't forget to tune in tomorrow as we continue in this verse-by-verse study through the book of Nehemiah. If you missed any of today's show or would like to listen to it again, check out our website, inchristradio.com. There you can find a link to this show, along with this past week's episodes. There is also a link to the Calvary Chapel Lubbock podcast with a whole library of great Bible teachings and teachers. Have a prayer request? Submit yours safely and privately at inchristradio.com. I would like to personally invite you to one of our services. We meet Sunday mornings at 10 a.m., Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m., and Thursdays at 12 for noonday prayer. Did you miss any information? Our website again is inchristradio.com. Remember, wherever you are and whatever you're doing, God wants to be a part of your life.